Hey, this is Jim McDonald. Welcome to episode 121 of the PowerCast. This episode is Ben Alderman and Blair Morrison. Ben's been on the show before. Both of them are local to us CrossFit competitors and gym owners, and they have a podcast called Beyond the Barbell, which you should check out if you're at all interested in how what it takes to balance being a competitive athlete and a gym owner and a family guy, because that's what they cover. It's a good show, and they're good friends, and we decided to have them in this week to talk about all that stuff and more, including, I don't know, steroids and CrossFit and one thing or another. It sounds like we're on a CrossFit theme because we had Jason Kalipa last week, but actually this isn't the actual order that the shows are recorded in, but we're dropping this one this week because they are not dropping a show this week. So if you're a listener, regular listener of the Beyond the Barbell podcast, welcome to Mark Bell's PowerCast. Our sponsors for this episode, howmuchabench.net, thepowermagazine.com, cavemancoffeeco.com, 8manstrong at 8manstrong.com, ComplexUSA at shopcomplex.com, and Rogue Fitness at thepowercast.com/rogue. And if you enjoy this show, please check out our sponsors, because they're what makes the show go. That, and the other thing you do is leave us a 5-star rating or review on iTunes. We'd appreciate that. You got a couple days off, you got a little time, and you can just dig in there and do what you need to do to give us a review, and we'd really appreciate it. Thanks. Have a good Thanksgiving, and enjoy this episode.
Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California. This is Mark Bell's PowerCast. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
Not sure what that's about, but anyway.
So I have a fact here online. We're here with two
factoid,
very fit men. And I know
you guys
sometimes do workouts where it's like 20 calories on the rower, or maybe a spin bike, or no, maybe a what's that fucking aerosol bike or something. But you go by calories sometimes,
aerosol.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Aerodyne.
Right? Yeah, Aerodyne. Is it Aerodyne?
Whatever. Salt bike, whatever.
Yeah, it shows you last time I did cardio. So you do like the Aerodyne, but it's like 20 calories, and then you can move on to something else, right? Well, what I found out on the internet today is that one fart can approximately burn 67 calories.
Wow.
So what if you're
rowing? Is it
a rowing,
release of energy, or is
so
it actually
you're rowing
burning?
And then you fart?
Just hop off and you're done.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's what, 10 farts for?
How long is the fart?
It doesn't say, but it says farting 52 times in one day can burn 1 pound of fat. 52 farts, 1 pound of fat.
Wow.
Like who documented this stuff?
Now, I wonder why I have a hard time gaining weight.
It was on Google. Google told us. And then our friend CT Fletcher chimed in. What did he say?
67 calories.
CT said,
to produce a fart or just to like let one go?
I think it's to let one go. CT said true that he farted and lost 6 pounds one time instantly, but he had to throw away his underwear.
Wow. Wow. Oh, yeah. So maybe.
CT Fletcher, the legend, told us something.
Yeah. I think he said draws.
Draws.
Yeah, he did say draws. He's from Arkansas.
He had withdrawals.
Yeah, withdrawals of the draws.
He's been training for a long time, so I'm not going to.
Well, I just don't know why you're so fat that. Still, Smelly.
I know. I've been farting left and right.
You think you'd be slim. I'm just curious like how much effort people are putting into letting these farts go.
That's another good
I think
point.
A butthole diameter would play a role.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
True. Right? Yeah. If it's like kind of tight, you really got to work
more
hard.
Pressure.
And you're bearing down.
And how long do you have to work to get it all the way out?
Yeah.
Like if you feel a fart way up in your belly.
I would argue that during exercise, it would almost be effortless.
Yeah, squats.
So maybe there wouldn't be as many calories burned. Yeah, squats maybe, just kind of force it out of you.
Maybe squats are the king of exercise for that reason.
Mm. It'd be tougher on the air assault bike because the seat is kind of like...
A butt plug?
Yeah. It's rough.
Wow.
Yeah. So on the rower, you'd be fine, but
excellent.
The air assault plug.
Abdominal cramping, hop on the assault bike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what about toes to bar and all that stuff? Is that fart friendly or not?
Mm. No. Not fart friendly.
No, toes to
tucks
bar.
Tucks it back in?
Yeah.
Seems dangerous.
Opposite.
Plus, you're passing... through the movement so quickly that
passing
you guys move around a lot. Any poop accidents or anything interesting happen?
Yeah, mid-wad.
Any sort of blowouts? I'm here training with you guys.
Any blowouts? Short blowouts? Pants blowouts? Clothes blowouts?
I mean, girls lose a lot of urine.
Yeah, that happens.
Double unders and stuff like that.
Yeah, Miranda peed on the floor in my gym before.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But sometimes your guys' workouts can last like half an hour. Maybe that's just the games. Maybe I'm uneducated. But they could last like half an hour, right? Like a chipper or something that's super long. Mm. Am I way wrong? Am I semi-right?
Well, we do other things like run, too. So yeah, yeah, run a 5K long. In like 18 minutes, and I'll do it in like 32.
Yeah, but what if you got a shit mid-5K?
I run a little faster.
Story about that.
Oh, here we go. We got something.
Yeah, so... It's really not an issue if you're doing like a 5K at your gym because usually you can just stop and go to the bathroom. But if you're out, say, doing a trail run, which I know Mark does a lot of.
They're rucking.
Yeah. There's not many bathrooms around. So I've had the situation arise where I'm out like I'm doing like a there and back type thing on the trail. And I'm pretty much almost all the way there and pretty far from getting back. And, you know, like I think I had some lentil soup like for lunch.
Great running food.
Two things that Mark doesn't know anything about, trail running and lentil soup.
Yeah. And I stopped eating lentil soup after that because there's literally nothing I could do to keep it in.
Yeah.
I had to stop, find a broadleafed plant, and just.
And you finished, well, I guess you had to finish the run.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There was no options.
Ran it back and, I mean.
You're kind of out in the wild often, though, so you're probably used to that by now. Just popping a squat wherever you needed to, right?
I'll tell you this much, man. If you're out there. You don't think twice about it.
Something's got to happen.
It's CrossFit anywhere. It could possibly be CrossFit anywhere.
or everywhere, as the case may be.
It ends up having a different experience every time, right?
It's a lot better out than in. Pants.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, do you throw away the underwear at that point when you get back, or do you wash them? I mean,
well, it depends if it got on the underwear.
Yeah. I just think that's just too much.
It's gone.
They're gone.
What about deep cheeks?
It depends on how much you pay for it, though. I mean... 15, 20 yeah. bucks for a pair of underwear, you're going to rinse
economics
those things out.
Is going to play into this.
I only buy underwear at like Ross. You get like 50 of them for
that
$5
exact
bucks.
Reason.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. You never know what may happen.
No, sumo deadlift day. And
yeah.
Toss
dude, if
them.
You crap blow your out. Pants, you throw them away. Like, that's it.
That's no option. Yeah.
No. If you crap your pants, you throw them away.
Well, that's why your washer has the
graduate.
Sanitary.
I'm not take his word. Yeah.
Ivy League. Yeah. Well, that's why your washer has the sanitation setting on it. It goes like 3 hours and just it gets all
it's
that
a poop
shit
cleaner?
Out, literally. Yeah, yeah.
This man has
diapers,
Ivy League schooling. I'm not going to argue with him.
Yeah, I agree. That's why he's in the middle here.
Yale
he's ahead of the
like
table.
That's I mean, somewhere fancy, didn't
me?
He?
Me?
Yeah.
Princeton.
Princeton.
Yeah.
Hmm. I was worried I overpaid for my education at Sac State.
I mean, you might have.
Yeah, I did. I definitely did.
They just selected you, though, right? Because you're so handsome?
Yeah, I got a sexy scholarship.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, look at this guy. Good-looking son of a bitch.
Great hair.
Don't have to pay at all.
Yeah.
Did you hate it as much as Tim Ferriss did?
Who, Princeton?
Princeton, yeah. He hated Princeton.
No, I love Princeton. I thought it was... Obviously, like you go to college
it was maybe
great,
too easy, but
no
other than that,
wherever you go, you're gonna have a good time. But I thought Princeton, the way they keep it kind of the way it used to look, so you feel like when you're walking on campus, you're walking into like 200 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, like Harry Potter's cool.
Right.
School.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like Hogwarts.
Yeah.
So
Dumbledore greets you at
castles and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of castles. Yeah. Everything's like stone.
Where's Princeton?
Everyone speaks. With a British accent, even though it's here.
Wizardry 101.
I majored in wizardry. It's in New Jersey.
Ah, New Jersey.
And what they did, the university is pretty smart. They own like all the land around the university, even that's not like with dorms and everything on it. So you get off the freeway or Route 1, whatever it is, and you drive through like this empty pasture, and then all of a sudden you hit the university. So it's almost like it's buffered. From all the crappy New Jersey stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's not a whole lot around it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the five major cities that are around Princeton are Trenton, Newark, New Brunswick.
I see.
Camden.
Yeah.
And
pretty rough areas, actually.
Dude, they're like the highest crime rates in the East Coast. It's horrible. But Princeton is like this country club there. So
yeah, it's on the outskirts a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you guys got planned for the holidays? Anything big coming up for either one of you guys? You got something festive, something cool coming up, or just
dude, I don't know
back?
How everybody does it because people say they drive like 4 hours to go to a Thanksgiving, then 4 hours home. I heard that story like 2 days ago, and I'm like, how do you do it? I looked at my schedule. I've got Thanksgiving on Thursday, a Thanksgiving on Friday, and a Thanksgiving on Saturday.
Right.
And one of my buddies texts me, he's like, oh, that sounds cool. I'm like, what? I've got four kids. I mean, that doesn't sound cool to me at all. That's like, I'm not going to sleep. People are going to have any drinks? Nope, no drinks. I'm just going to, I don't know, survive somehow.
Yeah. Is that just different families, like your family, then in-law family, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's the wife's family. It's my family. It's some people who are close to me, family, friends at the gym, you know, and it's just obligation after obligation sometimes. you know.
Just brings on more stress rather than more
sometimes
fun.
Sometimes it does. Yeah. You know, sometimes it does. I'm not going to lie.
Then you're like, oh, shit, it's Thanksgiving. I got to start buying presents for people because Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, my wife's like, where are you going? I'm going for a trail run. She's like, you never trail run. I'm like, that's how excited I am.
She knows something's up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you guys do...
just had some lentils and I need to go take a shit.
Right? Work it loose.
Do you guys do any, like... Like family, like we play a family football game every year for Thanksgiving with our cousins and everything.
I used to do that in New York, but we don't do that out here. We do some other shit. We do like a Survivor Challenge, which ends up being pretty cool.
Oh, that's way cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We try to do stuff that like just can involve anybody rather than have it be like overly challenging, like physically or mentally or whatever.
They're like
just
egg tosses
got
and stuff
kids,
said,
yeah. Got kids involved and everything, yeah. So
don't want it to be mentally challenging.
Yeah, yeah. Don't want anybody to hurt their
Mark
brain.
Would always win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do all kinds of stuff, but it's a lot of fun.
I heard you won the sprint last year. I think Andy told me.
Oh, yeah, well, against Jake. Remember?
There you go.
Yeah.
Mark the runner.
You saw me smoke Jake on the beach. My son.
Your son?
His ass.
Yeah. I was going
to
say.
But soon I'm going to have to start elbowing him in the face or something just to try to beat him.
How old is he?
He's 11.
Yes. And you beat him last year when he was 10?
Well, I beat him this year,
too. Yeah, like three months ago.
Yeah.
He's probably getting faster, though, yeah?
Yeah, he'll be able to kill me any second now in everything. Yeah, I don't have much of a chance. How about you? What you got going on? Anything?
So this year is the first year that I'm not going to be hosting part of Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah?
So my mom's idea this year is to have...
Do you cook?
Oh, no, I'm not kidding.
You're like, no, I'm staying the hell out of the kitchen.
No, so I'm not actually hosting the main meal, but like she's doing a progressive Thanksgiving where we start at my sister's house for hors d'oeuvres and, you know, whatever. Then we play a football game, go to my parents' house for like the full meal.
Right. Is progressive the right term there?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like transgenders are coming over and like, I don't really understand.
Well, it's basically think about it like a pub crawl.
But you all live pretty close to each other?
Right. We all live in like Folsom, Sacramento area. But then all of our relatives from the Bay Area are coming up and joining. So it's going to be, you know, 25 people or so that are going to be. I don't think anybody's making it to my house. I'm like the final stop.
You're the dessert?
The dessert station. I'm expecting kind of slash hoping that everybody's passed out by then.
Does a football game get a little too serious sometimes?
You know, last year... Last year got a little bit serious. Like people were tying the flags around their waist.
Like wedding crashers.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it was more like meet the parents. Like, yeah, spike that fucker.
Yeah, yeah,
and like
yeah.
People were stiff arming and I don't know.
Shit just get out of control.
Well, I feel like there's like a big like selection of grandchildren that are getting to the age where they can actually run and move and do stuff. And then, like, their parents aren't quite ready to relinquish dominance.
Yet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like Mark and his son. Like,
that's right. Yep.
He tries to come up and tackle you. You're not going to let it happen.
Nope. Right. Yeah, not yet, anyway.
Put him on his back.
So he'll be taller than me probably by next year, too. So I'll have to relinquish everything.
Just the bench press. That's all you'll have.
For now.
So both of you guys have a CrossFit facility. You got CrossFit Anywhere. Mm-hmm. And you got Iron Mile. Tell us a little bit about your place, Blair. Tell us about what CrossFit Anywhere means.
So I have right now two gyms up in like the Folsom and Roseville area, like outskirts of Sacramento. And the CrossFit Anywhere idea was originally built because I didn't have a gym and I wanted to still do all these workouts, CrossFit style.
Just open up gym because you wanted to be rich.
Right. Total backfire. So like the idea is that we should be able to do all these different fitness movements without equipment. So if I don't have a barbell or Olympic weights, like doesn't mean I can't work out.
Right.
Right. So that's how it started. And then, so I try to gear my programming for the gym a little bit towards that while still, you know,
not making it too complicated.
Right. And accepting the fact that a barbell is the best way to get strong. Like
right.
You don't need to do everything so creatively that we eliminate the best methods.
Doing preacher curls with logs and stuff.
Oh, we program so many preacher curls.
Oh, that's not involved
just
you guys?
A staple of what I do.
Yeah, you guys doing a lot of
You can
here.
Tell by my arms. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's huge. So we have that and we do a lot of stuff. And in the summertime, it makes it easier to do that because we have the lake nearby and we can go out and do open water swimming and do, you know, running on the hills and, you know, carries and stuff like that, which is, I don't know, I think it's a lot of fun. And
nobody gets really any more fit, though, so it's no pressure at all.
That's the thing is you keep everybody the same.
Right, yeah. It works, man. People get better, and I don't know, it's nice. It's a little bit of a separator for our gym within the CrossFit community. We do things just a little, not way different, but just a little
progressive.
Bit different. Yeah, it's progressive.
You just always like to do stuff outside, basically.
I like being outside.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down
and,
to.
And you made the 2011 CrossFit Games. I think you finished 7th place or something like that, right?
I was 7th in 2009.
Oh, 2009.
And then I was 5th in 2011.
Cool. What was that like?
Being 5th?
Yeah. I mean, what was it like going to the CrossFit Games and, you know, get placing pretty damn high?
Yeah, I felt like a
badass.
But
still being the fourth loser.
I felt pretty good about it. I was not expecting to do that great because I think I finished 3rd in my region that year. And then the games were more my style of workouts. It was
right.
We had to do an ocean swim. We were running on the sand. We had to do, like, object carries and a whole bunch of crazy stuff that they do at the games that they don't do in open or regionals. So it suited me a lot better than the earlier qualifying rounds, and I ended up taking 5th. And they decided to change the rule after that year that the top 5 didn't automatically get to go back the next year.
Okay.
So I kind of pulled the rug out on
that. Right.
It's a little disappointed there.
The competition just keeps getting harder and harder. Do you think you have a chance to – is that a goal of yours still to place well individually?
Honestly, no. Like the – I've been to regionals now. I mean, every year that they've had them, so I think it's like 7 or 8 years in a row, and I've still been able to qualify as an individual. But I can see that the sport has passed me by as an individual.
You're one of the few guys I've ever worked with that does a good job of trying to keep a realistic approach to the whole thing and not getting too caught up with, oh shit, I got to make it to the games and this has to happen, that has to happen. Yeah. I even remember you kind of telling me, like, my training's in line to just sit me wherever it sits me. Like, it's just I train, and then the training as a result gets me to here, and I can't really control much else of what everybody else is doing and what talents they might have.
Right. Yeah, I believe that. So, I mean, I've always...
That's hard to do, though. That's a really difficult thing to kind of sit back and be like, all right, well, that guy's better than me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's not the way it used to be, because right now, the way CrossFit has progressed as a sport is you've really seen people start to peak at the strength events. Like,
right.
Guys are qualifying for the American Open and Olympic lifting, and I'm just not built to do that. You know, I can be strong for my size and do the best that I can, but I'm never going to be able to compete.
Yeah, there's people competing on the world level, I believe,
right
now.
Mm-hmm. And that sport has just passed me by in that respect. I'm still very competitive when it comes to the endurance things and the, you know, some of the gymnastic skills. I'm competitive, but overall, like, as an athlete, like, I just can't keep up with a lot of the other things that the sport has gone into with strength and lifting. And that's okay. You know, like I said, I don't want to risk, like, injuring myself for the rest of my life or, you know, wearing myself so thin that I can't do
it. You want to enjoy it too.
Yeah. And I want to have fun training.
That's a big part of it, right?
For some people that don't know, CrossFit works kind of this way, the competition. Correct me if I say something fucked up.
Yeah.
Whether you like CrossFit or not, it's fucking competitive as shit. The hundreds of thousands of people apply online and they do workouts, right? Videotape.
The most genius thing that happened in fitness, period.
Maybe in any sport. Videotape, there has to be like a clock so you can't Photoshop this and that, right? A couple rules, but you do a bunch of workouts. If you do good in those, then you go to do well in those. I know there's a Princeton grad here. If you do well in those, you end up at regionals.
It's called the CrossFit Open.
Correct.
Right, that's called the Open.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, they split up our nation and actually the world into different regions, correct? Hopefully by population, but obviously things are more dense here and there. And then what, top 50 go to region for guy and girl?
Now it's top 20.
Okay, so now it's top 20 because now they combine California
right.
and all this. So it's you got more people entered online this year than ever, and they made it even more narrow for regionals.
It was like 200,000 people or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so out of 200,000 people total, they winnow it down to like 400.
Right, around the world.
400 women around the world.
All right. So then from there, what, you have to be top 3 in your region?
Five.
Top 5 from your region go to the games, and then there's about 50 or so that go head-to-head.
Total.
Yeah. Wild. I don't care what sport it is, if it's freaking brooming or, you know, like vacuuming or some shit. Like, that's a lot of people competing in a lot of shit.
Yeah, and then they also have the team competition where you have a similar number of teams. Like, if you don't qualify as an individual, then maybe your team as a collection of 3 men, 3 women will also go to a regional and compete against other teams, and they take the top 5 teams, and they end up getting like 50 teams at the end as
well.
What
I really like about the model that they made is that it can find somebody from anywhere. You know, Rich Froning's in Cooksville, Tennessee. Who the hell ever knew where that place was? And they found the fittest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool that they're able to do that with the system that they put in place.
Well,
very neat.
That system is kind of what has pushed Blair to maybe the fringes, in a sense, because you can't really test some of the things that Blair's talking about in the open and by, like, videotape. Right?
Yeah.
You can't have them go swim in the ocean and have everybody submit an ocean swim, right? So
basically his poop happening during his trail run might be inappropriate right to even
yeah, so throw on ESPN.
Yeah, it's moved away from finesse, right, which right Blair has a lot more finesse in a lot of things he does, a lot more technique, and towards like a workhorse type
right
model, right? And that's what's made room for athletes more like myself and who are better than me, you know, kind of move
so
into
to
that
the competition itself. There's a little bit of convenience factored in there for either ESPN or for yeah wherever they're competing or for whatever you're competing for.
Because I don't think Blair would do bad at the games if he right went straight to the games. Right. I actually don't think he would do bad there. I don't think he would necessarily place fifth or ninth again, but I don't think he'd be dead last because of his skill set.
I think he'd be
first. Right.
I got
because
faith
of his
in
skill
you,
set in swimming, because yeah of his skill set in some of these other random things.
Yeah, they
I
don't,
think you'd do really, really well.
You don't swim on the open. No, because
right
you're not everyone
you
has a GoPro.
Either,
yeah, and,
right
then, and then each thing's a little different. Yeah, and each year it kind of evolves, right? Like there's no standard. Like strongman, right, I think there's, you know, 30 exercises, and any 10 of those could be put in place right at that thing. So you kind of have to be ready for them. Maybe they know ahead of time, maybe they don't. But you guys, there could be anything.
Right. But, I mean, there is, like what Ben's saying is that there are some things you know are not going to be there. Like you're not going to swim, you're not going to run, you're not going to do something that's like an hour long, like a super long endurance right race. Like mm-hmm those things aren't going to get tested until the games because it's not logistically possible, and they can't right replicate it in every corner of Cooksville or Russia or yeah wherever they want to be.
So that may be a flaw. It may not be. It's just how it is.
Right. It's just how it is. And it's a disadvantage, like Ben's saying, for athletes like me, who that's our strength. But it is also making it better for the sport in general, because it's more inclusive. And they say, okay, well, if you're the fittest guy, you should be able to make it through that qualification process and get, and once you're at the end, now it's in your wheelhouse. And that's basically what it has been for me, is like, okay, every year I qualified for the games, which was 3 years, I did better at the games than I was projected to do because the programming now suited
gotcha
me.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But now I'm not good enough to make it through the qualification process in order to now reap those benefits anymore. And that's right, that's just the way the sport has progressed. Guys are just really fucking good.
Tell us about Iron Mile.
Nothing to say, really. No, I'm just kidding. So
doors are closed. Shutting it down.
So Iron Mile is more of like a – it's in the same way Blair is referring to anywhere. It's like his mindset.
Right.
Iron Mile is kind of a mindset. So my first year I went to regionals. I had qualified, I think, in the 40s, 48 or something like that to get there. And then I got there, and I actually placed top 10. I was really surprised. It was on the first day, I think I was in third or fourth. And, you know, I didn't really understand what regional competition looked like.
Right.
And I thought maybe I was going to the games on my first.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be around it and see, like, you're right there with, like, Jason Kalipa and some of these just ultra mega stars in the CrossFit community. It's pretty neat to watch.
And in that year, Blair Morrison, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like, Neil Maddox, Gabe Zubery, some of those guys. And after the second day, I think I had dropped to seventh and then fallen to ninth my that final day. And I ended up losing to Garrett Fisher for the eighth place spot by one burpee. So everybody who beat me, though, has been to the games.
Burpees.
Right.
You know? Everybody who's ever beaten me at regionals has been to the games.
Right.
Right? So, and I'm always on the...
Yeah.
So anyway, I...
Some stiff
that was
competition.
That was a good regional.
Yeah, it was a good regional. So at Iron Mile, it kind of bred out of that. So I got a yoke from my friend Mark Bell. He runs a podcast somewhere. Anyway. And,
never heard of it.
Never heard of it. And I was like, you know what? I need to get better at just long, grueling workouts. Like, I need to get way, way better at them. And I've gotten better at them. I just haven't got better fast enough yet. So, but anyway, I was like, you know what? I'm going to load this yoke with like another 100 pounds, right? The Rogue standard yoke. And I'm like, I'm going to carry it like 400 meters. I was like, no, 400 meters. Like, anybody could carry it 400 meters, right? And then
not really, but go on.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I was like, this 275 pound backpack, I'm going to carry it for 400 meters. And then I was like, no, I think Jason and Neil, they'd probably carry it like 800 meters,
right?
And then, well, I want to beat them. So right. I was like, I might as well just go a freaking mile, right? So I just started calling it the Iron Mile because I got to the mindset where I wanted to push harder than anyone else in training.
Right.
I wanted to do more volume. I wanted to work harder. And there's a little bit of a loss of efficiency when you do something like that, like kind of what Blair's talking about. There's an efficiency in the way he works out, right? But when you work out so long, you start to lose some of the efficiency. And right. So you're working out twice as long. And those last, say, 2 hours, you're only getting another 15 or 20% better
right.
rather than the same in the first 2 hours.
Gotcha.
But you know what? That 15 to 20% day after day after day after day, even though it's taking you a long time, is right. making you a lot better. And so at Iron Mile, it's just the mindset is we outwork everyone. Yeah.
Just to try to keep pushing forward no matter what.
Yep.
Very cool.
That's worked, man. Ben has gotten progressively better and better and better, not only at the things that he's good at, but at the things he's not good at. And so now you see him, and he is a guy that's challenging for one of those top five spots in the California Super Regional last year, and it's going to be again this year.
It seems to have benefited both of you guys being around each other. You know, you guys train together sometimes. You guys are pushing each other all the time. What's it like when you guys get around some of these other CrossFit top-notch athletes? I know, like, amongst each other, it's probably not a big deal. You know, win some, lose some. He beats you on this, you beat him on that. You try to stay as close as you can on certain things, and you as well. But what is it like when you get around some of these top-level guys and you kind of know you have them, like you beat them on certain things? That's got to be a pretty good feeling, right?
That feels so good. That feels so good. I remember competing with Jason and like Chris Spieler, and I remember competing with these guys. And Kalipo is a great example. Because
I mean, you see him like, you know, on the internet or TV or wherever. It must be kind of like a thing. Like you see him and you're like, oh shit! Like this is the guy. This guy does this. This guy does that. Then you get in competition with him. And you're like, oh shit! Like I got a chance to whoop his ass right here.
Right. And it was a long time before I ever beat Jason Kalipo in a workout. And it was so frustrating because I felt like there were things that I should be able to do better than him based on my body type.
Right.
That he was always just beat me by like 5 seconds.
He just kind of doesn't care.
And, but I mean, yeah, and he's an incredible case because of the way his motor is for how big of an athlete he is.
Right.
But when it actually happened, like I remember in 2011, I beat him at quite a few workouts and it felt really good.
What a chump.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey man, okay, I belong here.
Yeah, you know? No, that's cool.
Well, you know, this year at regionals, I had a really good showing, even though I didn't qualify for the games. I took top five in five workouts, I think, out of seven. I just had two really bad workouts. But that meant I beat Neil Maddox, I think, at two or three workouts this year.
Yeah.
And I had never beat him at a regional workout up until this point.
Yeah.
And so for me, as a guy who's qualified to the games, you know, 5 years in a row or something like that, that felt really, really good.
And he's a guy that typically you look at him as saying he has the same strengths as you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you to beat him at some workouts, that's like – that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And then as far as like Jason, because he's the king of NorCal, quote unquote, mm-hmm. I've beat him at a few, like a handful of workouts.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, I've got to grind really hard in order to beat Jay. And like he sent me a workout the other day and I did it. I think he beat me by like 40 reps, you know, so.
How are most of these guys? Are most of these guys pretty willing to share information, or are they pretty closed off, or it kind of depends? Like Jason, for example, he's just like, hey, you know, you should try this. Or is he kind of more like, you know, hey, you're on your own, dude.
Jay's pretty open.
That's cool.
But like other guys are not. Like Neil, Neil's extremely competitive, doesn't want to give any edge to any competitor ever.
I just feel like the sports, even powerlifting, the sports we're in, like there's no secret.
Right.
Like I can teach you how to deadlift and
there's
you know,
not
sorry
too
to tell
many
you,
different
like,
ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it'll take you a long time to out deadlift me. Like you can show me all your CrossFit tricks, Ben, and or even just running or whatever the fuck, and you're gonna smash me. You know, it's just kind of how it is. Like there's tips, there's no tricks.
Right. Well, you know, like Jason and Neil are a good, you know, juxtaposition, but you take somebody like Jason and Dan Bailey, because I'll use them because they're both really, really good guys. Dan Bailey is very secretive about his training leading up to regionals, and he doesn't like to tell people what he's doing.
Doesn't want to train with anybody.
No, he doesn't want to train with anybody. And I think
we know some people that like won't let the stuff get videoed, or they don't want to talk about competing, and then they compete out of nowhere, just like superstitious and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't
that.
Put up their PRs. Like, I'm not just going to pull 800 out of nowhere and, you know, like.
And not say anything. Jason will tell you everything. Yeah. Jason will tell you literally every single thing, at least he'll tell me every single thing he does.
Yeah.
And then I got to try to beat it, and I never do.
I think it doesn't really matter a ton. Like if you're transparent, because you should be comfortable enough, like what he's saying, you should be comfortable enough with your own traits,
the talents and hard work if you have them.
Yeah.
Well, and
no
furthermore,
trick's gonna help.
Furthermore, you shouldn't be able to guess that what somebody else does is going to work exactly the same way for you,
or change.
Now,
your
I
whole,
guess it might be
athletic.
Different if you're a coach and that's the way you're making your living. Then you may not want to share everything all the time with everybody.
That too,
sure,
it might be a different situation.
Yeah, I think overall the community is extremely open. Like people, if you actually have somebody's phone number, you want to reach out and ask them for an idea, or, you know, I saw this on Instagram, like, give me some background. Like, they'll give it to you for the most part.
What's your first experience with CrossFit, Ben? How'd you get involved in it?
My first experience, I was at a Gold's Gym. I was just a trainer. I was a salesperson at a Gold's Gym in Elk Grove.
And over there bench pressing, working on them pecs, and yeah, man. Next thing you know,
his arms didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then some,
next thing you know, you're burpeeing.
Well, some guy comes up to me. He's like 43 years old, you know. And then, I mean, that was 6 years ago. I was like 27, 26. So I found CrossFit kind of late compared to some people. And he's like, "Hey, I got this workout for you." I'm like, "Okay, cool, whatever." It's called Baby.
Whatever, old man.
I was like, "You,
it's called Baby.
You named your workout Baby?
Baby?
Like this." It sounded kind of gay.
Yeah, it's not.
Like,
yeah.
Just being real. Like, it sounded kind of gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, whatever. He's like, it's 10 wall balls to a 10-foot target. I'm like, okay, what's a wall ball? And he brings, you know, he has to show me everything. And then 10 burpees, right? And I was doing MMA at the time also. So I had kind of like a competitiveness and like that time constraint type workout idea. And he's like, 10 burpees. I'm sorry, 10 wall balls, 10 burpees for 10 rounds. I'm like, okay, cool.
I think that's kind of tough, bro.
We should mention that that Ben is undefeated, by the way.
Yeah, I think
in his MMA career.
In my MMA career, I think it took me 18 minutes to do this workout, and about three rounds in, I was actually hovering over the med ball with one elbow on it, like like trying to lay down but not lay down on the ground, because before CrossFit, you never lay down on the ground during workouts. After CrossFit, you're like, oh, it's normal. You finish a workout, and you fall down on the ground.
Yeah, clothes come off, lay on the ground.
Yeah, but there, I was like, no way. Three rounds in, he's like, this guy's coaching me. He's like, all right, this is just like an MMA fight. You got to get back up, man, because this guy's going to start punching you in the face.
Like, but I'm
like,
oh,
this sucks, man. Come on, give me a break here. And he's like, just keep going. I'm like, oh, and I'm in the middle of this Gold's Gym, and people are looking at me. Again, this is 6 years ago before even less people knew about CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, and it just was super awkward. But I realized that, you know, the last time I got beat that bad was when I went to Uriah Faber's gym. So
you wanted to keep doing it to help your MMA career, or you love the feeling of, like, burning lungs? Or
no, I wanted to do it because at the time I thought MMA was the route I was going to go.
And so this would supplement that.
Exactly.
You did you get super sore from that workout and stuff? I mean, a lot of times people don't like to go through that much pain because the end result is bad. You feel like shit a couple days later. So what drew you to go back to it?
You know, it's just like when you're in that environment where you train or you work out or you're in the gym for a living, when you see a workout that just puts you on your butt and you're like, dude, I can't do this. There's a part of you that just wants
you're
to go back.
Competitive to,
yeah, you're just too
to
competitive
to have it get the better of you, basically.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I was a pro bodybuilder, so I couldn't be like, well, I got to go back to bodybuilding. Well, that didn't work. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm a functional athlete. Like I was doing MMA. You're like, you can't throw a ball and do a burpee. Like this is very much similar to what you do. So,
right.
Anyway, that's what I did, and I sucked at it.
And then what was the evolution of wanting to open up a CrossFit gym and stuff? Just started getting so passionate and excited about it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I realized that MMA was not the route. So for me, I have four
getting
kids
punched in the head. Not a good idea.
Yeah, I have four kids, you know, and in that gym, you know, as well as it's
who would
run,
win between you and Charlie Zamora? Didn't he do some MMA?
Yeah,
put you on the spot right now. Ready, go.
Charlie's me. Long.
No, if we fought 10 times, I'd win 9 out of 10 times, and then the other one might be a draw.
That's awesome. There you go, Charlie.
I'm not talking down to Charlie. I'm only speaking for my own skill set.
That's right.
That's all
right.
I'm doing.
That's right.
I would crush him.
Yeah. You know, I think Charlie and I would have a hard time finding a weight we could meet at this point.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
Charlie's
he's getting
pretty big.
Kid.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, maybe Charlie gets the better of me. You know?
He's a big kid.
Probably not, though. So opening a gym, you know, you just start getting really passionate about it. You know, I left MMA because my kids would have a hard time going there and hanging out. And as most people know, like my kids come into the gym, they hang out with me. My wife comes in, then she hangs out with me. And so I just got to the point where it's like, MMA is not the thing.
Right.
You know, and I had some significant life events that happened. I was like, I just need a change. And so I started just diving into CrossFit. I went and got certified at NorCal with Jason Kalipa. And I just opened up a little CrossFit class at Gold's Gym. People started coming. My clientele for my personal training department, which I was running at the time, started wanting to come to my class.
I want
to
point out that I think it changed your life, you know, for the better, because at the time you were training people. You weren't a powerlifter. You weren't a bodybuilder. You weren't defined by, like, a particular sport. You did a little MMA. You weren't that happy with that. And this came along and seemed to be, like, just the right thing for you at the right time, something you became really passionate about. And now I think you have two gyms, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, because I didn't really have anything that defined me, you know, in a sense. Like, I really – once I started doing CrossFit, I started telling people, like, without cutting any corners or just, like, very direct, I said, hey, I feel like I was created to do CrossFit.
Yeah.
At least at this point in my life, I was created to do CrossFit. Like, God put me on the earth to do CrossFit for, like, the next – indefinite amount of time. And I'm sure I could go do something else at some point, but it's got to have to be that clear.
Well, you tried a bunch of different other things, and this felt the best to you, right?
That's it.
Yeah, when I met Greg Glassman like 2 years ago at the CrossFit Games, I mentioned your story to him, and I said, hey, I just want to thank you because I have a friend who, you know, has kind of turned his life around. Not that your life was bad.
Right.
But basically has created a good life for his family. And I said, I know a lot of other stories like that within the CrossFit community. I just wanted to thank you for that. And he thought that was the coolest thing, and he went on and on about all these successful CrossFits and stuff, and he thought that was really cool. So it gave me a good thing to speak to him about, and then all the Reebok people were like, what were you talking to him about forever? He never talks to anybody. I was like, oh, that was cool, man. I mean,
you never say what he wants to hear.
Yeah, kicking it with him for a couple minutes there, so that was cool.
Yeah, very cool.
So how do you keep it going? How do you keep – I mean, not every CrossFit is going to survive. There's a lot of you know, consolidation and CrossFit's just – affiliates just going out of business. Like, how do you keep it going? What drives your business for both of you?
That's a good question because I think it's different in every market. Like right now, the Sacramento area is kind of saturated with gyms, and so you're seeing some gyms go out of business. And that's not the case like maybe in – you know, Europe right now, right, or in Nebraska right now, or whatever. So I think
still growing
in certain areas. It's just opening one is going to be enough because there's not access to it. But once you hit this saturation point and the market kind of like equalizes, my personal opinion is that you have to be number one, distinct from the other gyms in some respect, either it's your style, or your philosophy. Kind of Ben and I have a little bit of a different slant on CrossFit. Mm. And so people that like my ideology will kind of gravitate towards my gym, and people that like his ideology will gravitate towards his gym.
Because I'm sure you have people who travel from kind of far. They don't all live in Folsom, correct? Like all the people who come to your gym? Like you have people who drive.
I mean, you have a radius that's a reasonable driving distance. I mean, if it's a half-hour drive, people aren't going to do it. But if they're within 10 miles, they'll drive to you, and there's going to be other options within that radius, right? And that's the idea of having a saturated market. So that's one thing, like being distinct. The other thing is like staying, I don't know if passionate's the right word, but staying connected to your actual job of being a gym owner and not just saying you're a gym owner, you know? And I think a lot of people get into CrossFit because it's a new thing. They think it's just cool to own a gym. You know, I can work out whenever I want.
The ease of entry is so easy.
Yeah. And
so if you're opening it to try to keep the doors open of a warehouse style gym, it may not be in your best interest to do it that way. You got to be more into it than that, right?
Yeah. Now you do. At least around here, you do.
Right.
Like you actually have to be there, and you know, you got to really love owning a gym because you don't make a lot of money, and there's a lot of other options for people to go to. And like, you know, humans are very perceptive of the energy that other humans are putting out, and so if they know that you don't really want to be there, they're not going to want to be there.
Even
either.
Little kids are really good with that kind of stuff. You know, it's pretty amazing.
So that's my opinion. I think those two things are the number one and number two reasons on how you can continue to make it. You got to make, obviously, good business decisions, not waste all your money, but that goes without saying.
So basically you just have to differentiate yourself from your nearby competitors.
Well, like, there's a differentiation, but there's also, the reality is CrossFit is a community-based fitness program, right? So if you're not taking care of your community, then you're going to lose your community. You know, and that's what's going to happen. People are going to go to a place where they feel taken care of. And I think that's kind of what Blair's saying connected. But the other thing is you really have to, I think, try to continually exceed the expectations that people have for their workout, right? Like if you've been doing the same workouts for the last 3 years, it's going to get kind of boring for people.
Right.
You know, and you need to evolve with their fitness just like they need to evolve, you know, as people, you know. So if your fitness program is kind of going to mirror their life, if you have a bunch of people who are like okay and comfortable at staying where that, my guess is they're kind of like that in their everyday life. So you want to kind of push them in everything.
Yeah, that's a great point, dude. So I'll tell you like a story about.
He's never said that before.
He doesn't have many good ideas, but it's a great point because people that go to CrossFit are a certain type of person. They're most of them are pretty type A. Mm-hmm. They like knowing that something is working.
They're weird.
And they don't necessarily
they don't like shirts.
they don't want to wear shirts, but they want to feel like they're doing something that is better than what everybody else is doing. Uh-huh. Right? And so they get that feeling when they do something that's either new or different or super super fucking hard. Mm-hmm. Right? So I decided I wanted to run a couple of Spartan races this year, and so we started doing these Spartan wads once a week. Because if I'm going to do it, then everybody's going to at least know what I'm going through. And it's basically a workout where you run, come in, do a little exercising inside, run, come in, do a little lifting, run, come back in. And it's like this long 50-minute workout that's not very CrossFit. It's not typical of a CrossFit gym. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's a lot of running. People probably aren't going to like it. Man, they love it.
Oh, really? That's cool.
All the people want to ask me is like, what day are we doing the Spartan Wad? Like, that's so much fun. And I'm like, this is the hardest thing you guys have ever done. There's no way you actually look forward to this. But they do because it's different. And that's something that they can put on Facebook and talk about that they did.
That kind of leads me into my next question. Were you in that Spartan race to win? You know, a lot of CrossFitters go and they're CrossFit and they're pretty good at CrossFit, but maybe they're like, CrossFit, we appreciate it because it gets more barbells in people's hands. It obviously gets people off couches. It obviously creates business for people, but it opens people's eyes to other sports. More people know about powerlifting, more people know about weightlifting, and more people know about strongman purely because of CrossFit. And so, you know, that
you're welcome.
Yeah, no, truly, truly, you know. So anyone that talks shit on CrossFit, that's, you know, one of our simple answers to it. But and then they do very well in those sports as they go. There's tons of weightlifters now that started in CrossFit, and they're kicking ass nationally. Right. I don't know about strongman, just because real strongmen are 6'6 and 400 pounds. Yeah. It's a little different. But I'm sure there's Spartan races or mud races or whatever it is. So do you see you guys yourself doing anything else, Ben? Or Blair, were you going to Spartan Race Championship? I think there's money in that, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of money. They pay out, like, the top 10 or 20 spots, I think. Honestly, I did the 9 miles.
Or do you poop?
Yeah, poop mid mud.
You're running through poop. It's a lot of running. It's a lot of running. And so I don't think I'll ever be able to win a Spartan race, even though I'm a good runner. But I like doing them because it is a huge challenge to overcome. And I think it's important for somebody to be able to move their body, you know, 10 plus miles without totally breaking down and needing a gurney to get rid of it, get you off the course. But if I could get a top 10 finish, that would be awesome.
So you might try for it.
I might. Well, I did the sprint this year in June, and then I did the super, which is the middle distance, just a couple weeks ago. And I did good. I finished in the top 10%. I think I was 26th out of 250 people, like of elite men. So I did pretty well.
And most of the people that do Spartan Race are a little smaller than the CrossFitters, would you
say? Yeah, they're runners, man. It is a – you go from a cross-country athlete, and then they add in some obstacles, and that's what a Spartan Racer is.
Yeah.
Height and weight for both of you guys for the audio audience that
– can't see our huge physiques.
Exactly.
I am 6 feet, 190. Yeah. Solid.
Solid ass. Choice.
Pounds.
That's why he's wearing sunglasses. He couldn't look you guys in the eye and say that. But I'm 5'10". I'm about 210.
Okay.
Damn sexy.
Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
He looks just like The Rock.
Yeah. Baby Rock. Oh.
People's eyebrow.
There you go.
Goes wild.
So, yeah. So, Ben and I are built completely differently. Even, like, just the height and weight doesn't really show, like my bones are a lot narrower and baby giraffe-like, and Ben is built more like a tank.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like, Blair, if he spent, I don't know, the next year in here at Super Training – there are certain lifts that he just would not beat me at no matter what. And if I spent the next year doing Spartan Wads, I wouldn't be able to outrun him.
Right.
You know, it's just like there's some of the stuff is just genetic, and you can't outwork some of your genetics.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what kind of makes it fun. Is, you know, you have to have that self-realization. It also holds a mirror up and say, hey, you know, you really got to work hard in this area. And then what are you going to give up to do it? I know you like talking about that.
Yeah, but what if you give steroids?
I don't know. I'm down to try. I'm just kidding.
I'm probably a phenomenal candidate for the.
Well, I was pretty open on, you know, your podcast about about my situation. Are you guys gonna, you know, willing to open up about all the juice you guys are using?
I'll be open about
for all this running
use.
And stuff you're doing and the burpees.
Yeah, I'll be open my steroid use. I have not used steroids ever.
Yeah,
and I've thought about it 400 times.
Have you guys been tested for the games?
I've actually never been tested. I would really like to be tested because that would mean that I'm qualifying for the games.
There you go.
But I've not been tested. I'm sure Blair has been tested multiple times.
Yeah, I've been tested. It was a urine test.
Failed every time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like the worst endorsement for steroids.
What do you guys think of, you know, you played horrible football and you were in MMA and stuff. So, I mean, you know, just not even just in CrossFit itself, but kind of what do you guys think of first of all, you know, steroids are – in powerlifting and bodybuilding, there's drug tested organizations you can go to if you want to, and there's non drug tested organizations you can go to if you want to. But CrossFit and a lot of these other companies, UFC and NFL and MLB and so on and so forth have took a stance against steroids. So what do you guys think of, you know, just kind of the whole thing, people using them and, you know, are people using them in your community, do you think, and that kind of thing?
Side note, those federations that do drug tests in our sports are often very much less popular than the untested.
Right.
Untested or drug-tested bodybuilding is – name one drug-tested bodybuilder.
Mike O'Hearn.
Yeah. I only know him because they're like friends, like Alberto Nunez or something. But other than that, right, it's Ronnie Coleman, it's Arnold. I mean, those are all untested. Same with powerlifting. All the big names, untested.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you look at the money side of it, you can't really make a good argument maybe for that. But if you look at regular sports, like something with a football or a baseball – Those sports are tested and they make a lot of money too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you look at
let's talk a little bit about like money for a second. Is there, you know, I think people always say there's money in CrossFit. Is there money in CrossFit? Like have either one of you guys won a lot of money from CrossFit?
I'm sure there's a lot of money in CrossFit. I don't receive the money in CrossFit. I actually contribute to the lot of money that CrossFit gets. You know what I mean? Both for my affiliate fees and my entry fees and things like that.
Right. So you have a gym, but that's a separate business. You're not actually like making money from doing CrossFit.
No.
Right. I think
as an athlete,
there could be some sponsorship money for some people.
Yeah. I mean, I have a sponsorship. I have, you know, from that side of it.
Right.
And I think that's not necessarily always just from being like the best at pull-ups, but being a voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
having a voice
absolutely.
In the community. And I think that anyone who has a voice in whatever community
having
they are,
influence and having influence, a following of some sort.
Yeah. That's not unique to CrossFit necessarily. No. You know what I mean? But in terms of
being handsome
as an athlete, I don't get paid to show up to events. Let's just say that.
I don't think there's not money in CrossFit if you're an athlete, not real money. There's money in CrossFit if you're a business, right? Because it's a huge population of people. Like you said, 200,000 people signed up to do the open. And if they're all buying Reebok shoes or if they're all buying Rogue barbells, that's a lot of money.
Slingshots or something.
Right. Yeah. Slingshots. A lot of money that way. But as an athlete right now, I mean, there's most of the sponsorships because the companies are younger. They're gear only sponsorships. There's a few athletes that get paid, maybe 100 or 200 athletes in the world that really make some money. But even that, it's going to be minimal. It's not going to be enough for you to not have another job. Now, winning competitions, the competition scene is growing. There's other competitions besides the games that are paying out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars if you win. But it's not to the level of, say, like the PGA Tour or NASCAR, where if you win a race, you know, you're set for the year.
You could retire.
You could retire.
Probably.
It's not like that. So you put your body through a ton of abuse, and your window is probably pretty small, realistically. The more we see, the more we're going to know. But there's not enough money in CrossFit right now to be just an athlete.
Right. And having said that, you know, powerlifting, there's absolutely hardly any money.
Tons of steroids.
Even less. Yeah, even less. And same with bodybuilding. You know, the reward is that you go up there and you beat the next guy, I guess.
Top five maybe in bodybuilding make some real cash, and the top five in powerlifting make no cash.
Pretty much, yeah.
And for years I've been kind of making the statement of if you're, you know, above 220 pounds and you're below 10%, that odds are you're probably using something. And I've said that for many years, but now it gets to be so much harder to tell because you have different athletes from a lot of different sports starting to get into performance-enhancing drugs like Anderson Silva.
Lance Armstrong.
Has been busted with it before, Lance Armstrong. And so now
Vitor.
You're like, wait a second. Vitor's
jacked, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of these body types are quite different than Ronnie Coleman.
Right.
And it starts to make it a little bit more confusing. So it's definitely feasible that some CrossFitters are using it. Have you guys ever experienced anyone just kind of, you know, blowing past you out of nowhere where you're kind of like, that's odd, you know? Like, has a thought been in your head like, hey, it's possible that some of these people are using something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So I
think you see it at the local scene.
Yeah, local scene for sure. But I remember even at the games in 2009 being, and I'm not saying that this is what happened, but I've just had that where I looked twice. There were guys that were there that I would be next to and stand next to and say, like, okay, you know, we're about the same size. We look about the same, whatever. And then the next year in 2010, I'm like, holy shit. Like, this guy is huge. Right. Like, you look way different, bro.
You did a double take, no homo. What?
Yeah. And now maybe, like, part of that could be just the fact that, you know, they really weren't in that good of shape the year before, and it wasn't that hard to get to the games. And now they really trained.
Right.
But realistically, like, if that's happening now, everybody's been training hard for 5 years. Like, nobody's showing up now, like, never, and qualifying for the games without having trained a lot.
Drastic changes when you're already good at something or already doing very well is,
you know, rare. If you're 35 and all of a sudden you just get shredded, you know, that's a little weird.
I've gotten accused of doing steroids before. Yeah, I mean, people have looked at me and been like, dude, you're definitely on something, you know, and...
And you used to be bigger when you were just lifting and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like
a little heavier.
221, I think, is the heaviest I've ever been.
Yeah, see, he's right over
that
marker.
Right at the cutoff.
Right over that marker.
Yeah, right? And so, you know, but people are like, oh, where'd Ben Alderman come from? Like, he's really good now, you know? And it's like, well...
Like, oh, look at his biceps.
I don't know. I mean, I just changed my training methodologies and I got better. And, you know, I didn't use any steroids, but I didn't really, like, continue that meteoric rise. I kind of... Now I have to just grind it out, Iron Mile style.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a little bit of like a gray area around CrossFit because it's a new style of training, at least the amount of volume that the top athletes are putting in, where it makes you question, like you said, your old archetype of what a steroid user looks like.
Right.
Not to say that they're not using anything, but like, goddamn, you've never seen people like work out this hard before for this long.
Yeah.
So like... Who's to say that it's not possible?
And genetics, right? Like you said, the Spartan racing's brand new, but you defined what that body type was. Right. And it's only been around, what, I don't know, 3 years, five years, right? But there's a body type for CrossFit, especially top level, right? They're going to be 5'8 to 6 foot. They're going to be 170 to 190 pounds, generally pretty damn lean.
Guys, it's not like 170 pounds, 190. Yeah.
All right. Well, like, my point is that like guys like Mark aren't just showing up and like, oh, I think I should do CrossFit. Or guys like Brian Shaw, the world's strongest man. He's not sometimes. Like, oh, CrossFit looks fun. That fits my body type.
No.
At this point, there is some money on the line if you win. And the people that are doing it for a long time. Like, I stopped playing basketball when I was 19 because I'm not going to the NBA because I'm not over 6'6". You know, like at some point you realize, okay, CrossFit's going to be my hobby. Okay, I'm going to be a CrossFit athlete.
Yeah, and it's changed. I mean, it's become more specific. Like in 2011, the final heat, like going out for that final workout, it was like me, Rich, Dan Bailey, Spencer Hendel, Graham Holmberg. It was like a bunch of different like heights and like sizes and shapes. Like Matt Chan was like really big and that kind of thicker guy, and you know Dan's a shorter, stockier guy. And
yeah, everybody's pretty jacked.
But, I mean, they're all pretty jacked, but like. You don't see that as much anymore.
They all kind of look like, starting to look the same.
They're starting to look the same.
That, like every other sport, right? You see an NFL player walking down the street, you know that guy's in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah. And on the female side, it's not quite to that level yet. You still have a bigger variation in the girls just because upper body strength is not something that a lot of girls have naturally the way men do. So you have some girls that have flawless technique and they're still able to keep a smaller body size. But it's going that way. Pretty soon you're going to have all super jacked girls at the top.
Yeah, no doubt. One thing I would say to kind of defend, you know, the fact that it's, you know, possible that a lot of guys are natural is the simple fact that both of you guys have probably worked with tons and tons of athletes over the last couple of years, probably, you know, near thousands or in the hundreds for sure. I myself have been super training gym since 2006, nearly a full decade. You know, I've had the gym for a long time. You guys have been around a lot of people. And other than, like, going outside the state and traveling somewhere else, it's really rare for me to run into what I would call a mutant, you know, somebody who is just clearly on another level, regardless of drugs, you know, whether drugs are part of it or not part of it. They're just clearly different than everybody from a genetic standpoint. It's really rare for us to have that here at Super Training, even though we've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. Have you guys had, you know, mutants come into your facility, or do you guys have some genetic mutations that have come to your gym that you would just kind of say, like, this dude's just, he's just different. Like, I don't know what the hell it is about him, but, you know, he's 6'5", and he weighs 250, and he shouldn't be able to do that, but he's doing it, you know, that kind of thing. Have you guys run into that much?
I had a kid who was, he was 19 years old. He was trying to play junior college football, and like pretty soft-spoken guy, white kid, big, kind of soft. And the dude did a 1 mile Airdyne sprint in 207, which is like 7 seconds faster than I ever saw anybody do it. And then walked over and deadlifted 550 pounds.
Wow.
And like to be able to have that much power, but also be able to sustain it for 2+ minutes was pretty mutant like.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he is anymore.
I guess my point is just a simple fact pan. That CrossFit has reached out to, at least as far as CrossFit Open goes, 200,000 people. You probably multiply that number times, I don't know, 5 or something. That's probably how many people actually do CrossFit in a given year or something like that. They've reached out to a large number of people. So having said that, there's going to be a lot of mutants in the bunch, you know?
Yeah.
It is rare to kind of run into them. We've had, like, Stan Efferding here and a few others come to mind that have come through here. But it's really rare to where you're like, this guy's just, I don't know, like, this guy's squatting 700 and everybody else is squatting 500. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is.
I mean, Rich is, like, the mutant in CrossFit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not because he's just so near the top in every area.
He's like, not visually intimidating, right? Like, we've all been around him, but he's not visually intimidating.
I think if you're talking about steroids, too, it wouldn't even explain everything either.
No.
Even if he did take them, it just wouldn't explain it. Like, he's just on another level, period, regardless, because...
Well, that's the top of everything, right? Barry Bonds, he was hitting fucking home runs before he took shit.
Right.
Right? And, Ronnie Coleman was still jacked when he was 18 in natural.
Right.
Michael Jordan gained some weight when he was in the 90s. He started lifting weights, but whether he's on shit or off shit, he's still the best basketball player to ever live.
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe Rich is on, maybe Rich is off. Doesn't really matter. He would probably still be the best.
Yeah.
And you have natural people who will kind of say, oh, they make a bigger difference than everybody knows. And you'll have people that are on stuff that say, oh, they don't make that big a difference. They do make a difference, but nothing can trump hard work and just having the genetics behind you.
Yeah, I think that the only mutants I ever run into are people at the top of the sport. Like, they don't come into my gym.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those mutants have already been discovered by... Yeah.
I guess that's my main point, is they're really few and far between.
Yeah,
right.
That's it. There's very, very few of them.
Do you think there's more to come? I mean, there's guys like Adrian Peterson and Dwight Howard. There's still guys showing up in those sports out of nowhere that are absolute mutants of the mutants.
Well, last week we sat down with an NFL player. He played linebacker for the 49ers. His name's Larry Grant. And he was talking about just the difference between CrossFit and the NFL. And I had told him that people come to me all the time and say, hey, Ben, you know what? You're pretty good right now. But once those NFL guys come over here, you're going to be nothing. Right?
Right.
And Larry was like, I don't know about that, man. He's like, our sport's very different, and the way we're built is very different. He was not at all trying to take anything away from what any top level CrossFitter has done.
Right.
Right? Like, he's like, we are big and athletic,
I think what Mike is saying, I've said that exact quote,
and what I mean by that is that the sport isn't enough money, and it's not old enough yet to find the top genetics.
Well,
right?
That's what I mean by that. Kids, for example, you know, when your kids start lifting in front of other people are going to be like, "The hell's going on with these kids? Where did these mutants come from?" You know,
I mean, like, really.
Yeah,
they've been doing it their whole life. It's kind of just part of their life, you know.
Mason, and I had the conversation this morning that he said when he's 14, he wants to be on my regional team, and I'll be 39, and so we'll be on the same team. I'm just wondering if I'll be able to do more work than him.
Yeah, he'll be trying to push you along. Come on, old man.
Exactly.
So in 2009 at the games, it was the last year before they moved it to the Home Depot Center in Southern California. So it was at this ranch in Aromas. It was like real kind of backyard, grimy event. And I remember the same conversation was being had with me, this guy, OPT, who's like an OG CrossFitter. He won the first games, and a couple other people. And
he's like the only guy banned from the CrossFit games. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's pretty funny.
the statement that Glassman had made was that, you know, the pinnacle of the sport would be when somebody could deadlift or squat 500 pounds and run a sub-5-minute mile, right? And right now, that still hasn't happened.
I think there's a guy named Alex Viotta that might run sub-5 and squat 700.
I think I've heard that, yeah.
Look him up.
Does he CrossFit?
Mm. He does his own cross training.
Right.
Anyway,
he doesn't compete in CrossFit.
Not getting close. Go back to your point.
That was the idea then, is that, okay, you should be able to have, or you should, if people train this way, you should get not just, obviously, he's not going to be a 4-minute miler,
which is elite,
or a 1,000-pound squatter, elite, but you're going to have people that are going to be really pushing the boundaries in multiple areas. And what you've seen for
he made that statement where you're like, I don't know if that'll ever happen.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, man. That's a lot of weight.
That sounds pretty crazy.
But what you've seen is people have pushed the one side of it. Like, they're Olympic level lifters in CrossFit now. And they've taken the last 5 years or so to develop that proficiency and that level of strength training. And now what I think is going to happen is you're going to see them take that strength and start pushing the boundaries in the other areas. I mean, you see guys doing endurance training and whatever, but you don't have a lot of guys at the CrossFit Games that could make a high school cross country team.
Right.
You know, but they will. Because that's
what
they're
asking. College football, and you worked on strength training and probably worked on trying to gain weight and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
What were your lifts like then compared to now?
Let's see. So when I played in college, that was from 2000 to 2004. And I couldn't squat as much as I squat now. I know that. I think I was maybe around a 360 or 370 squat, and now my squat's around 450. We didn't deadlift at all in football. All we did was squat, bench press, and like power clean.
Right.
So I think all my lifts are better now than they were then, I guess. And the other thing about football, going back to what we were talking about earlier, like these elite genetic guys, the process of playing football makes you really bound up and tight. It's not a flexible sport. So guys transferring from years of playing football into CrossFit, it's not really a great transition. Now, if you get them early enough, like genetic freak at high school level, and they're like, oh, maybe I don't want to get a bunch of concussions. I'm going to do CrossFit instead. Now you're going to have
to. You get people dreaming about CrossFit the way they dream about the NFL.
Well, right? Yeah. Well, just like what you said, right? Like the final heat or whatever, when you went, there was 12 different body types, and then now there's one body type.
Right.
And that one body type's only going to get better, and it's only going to get more specific.
Right. When and now if you just get a couple guys that have, like, I don't think any of the CrossFit Games finalists right now are elite athletes, like just pure athleticism.
Well, Rich played college football with D3.
College baseball.
Right, okay, baseball, and he was D3, which is college athletics is very hard to get to. America's very competitive in all sports, but he's not.
But you will
not D1 or D2
school.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
right.
Last year at the Bahamas thing in the Reebok Athlete Summit, it was like, you know, Marcus Hendren was out there. You had Kyle Kasparov. These are like college level football players, and they're out playing pickup football and basketball, and guys are good athletes. But they're not running like 4.3 40s.
Right.
You know, they're not having 40-inch verticals. Like the pure like traditional measurements of athleticism, like the guys that are at the top of the CrossFit Games don't have all those elite measurements yet. Because number one, those guys are going to other sports. And number two, I really think that CrossFit is so demanding mentally and physically on your body that people that are that athletic, they don't want to freaking do it.
The mental side of CrossFit is very different.
Yeah.
I think I'm a pretty good athlete. I can run pretty fast, jump pretty
high. Who told you that?
Myself.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Self-reported.
Did Mark tell you that?
No, he never compliments me.
Okay.
You know, and whatever, everything's hindsight. But, I think I have D1 athletics, and I would suck at CrossFit. Like, people always talk about going to a dark place. I don't even know what that means. But, like, you guys just put yourself through pain, and you got to, whatever, you know, block everything out and just put your, like, I can't do that. I could never do that. I couldn't even run a mile. Like, there's just no chance, right? Yeah, my back locks up, and I'm like, fuck, I'm out, you know, where I can still jump pretty high, and maybe in a 40 I might beat you guys, but that's
right.
Regardless. It has nothing to do with anything.
A lot of the NFL body types just look so much different, too. You know, guys are 6'5",
yeah, they're so tan.
Yeah, 6'5", and 6'6", and stuff like that, and they're super tall, and you're seeing the CrossFitters are usually, what, 5'9", 5'10"?
Some of those guys are really small, yeah.
Yeah,
Some of the guys are doing pretty well. Yeah.
Like Matt Frazier took second the last 2 years, and he's 5'8". He's a freak.
Who's the guy in San Diego?
He's so strong.
Invictus.
Too. Yeah. What about him?
San Diego? I don't know. He's
Josh Bridges.
Short. Yeah, Josh Bridges.
Yeah, Josh
short.
Bridges.
He's always up in the top.
Yep. Yeah. I think that what you were alluding to at the Reebok Summit with Marcus Hendren, you know, Kyle Kasparov, even Rich, those guys played high level sports, but not the highest level.
Right.
And I think they probably overcame some of their lack of athleticism, although they are probably more athletic than I am, by hard work. Right. But they lacked that elite 4.3 40, like you're mentioning, or that 40 inch vertical or whatever.
You end up
it was
with similar stuff in powerlifting.
Yeah.
You'll end up with, you know, there's not like a former, you know, NFL player. There's not like, you know, there's no one crazy.
Even though Justin Smith of the Niners supposedly squats 750.
Yeah.
I believe it.
He is such a beast.
I believe it.
Yeah, he is a beast.
That's a rumor. Until he comes to super training, it's just a rumor.
It's just a rumor. Post it. Video it or it didn't
happen.
That's
the other thing. So that conversation that I had with OPT, he's like, let him come. Let him prove it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like the ultimate test, right? You have this option where anybody, there's no barrier to entry. You can come in and do the open. And like,
I think they did a good job with being able to try to find the fittest person in the world. You know, the UFC opening up the floodgates on the old conversation of, I remember when I was a kid and you'd say, oh, Tyson, he would kill this, you know, he would kill Chuck Norris or he'd beat up this guy or that guy. You know?
Which we know is not true.
Yeah, no.
Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal would beat everybody in a
fight. But now you have a place where you can go. You want to act tough. You think you're cool. You think you're tough. You think you can beat people up. Then you can go into MMA.
Right.
You
know, there's and a place, you can prove it.
There's a place where you can go for that. You know,
Randy Couture, James Toney. Right?
Yeah.
Same
thing.
Yeah,
that was embarrassing.
That was embarrassing.
I'm surprised UFC ever let that one happen. That was crazy.
Well, people were like, oh, James Toney is...
he literally grabbed James Toney by his toe.
Yeah, exactly.
And took him down and just beat his ass.
People were like, James Toney was over the hill. He's past his prime. I'm like, I think Randy Couture was like 43 years old as well. I'm like, we're not talking about two guys in their prime. And Randy Couture kicked the crap out of him.
Hey, just couldn't stuff that takedown.
I'm really hoping that's going to be my CrossFit story, actually. About 43 years old, I'll finally make the CrossFit Games.
Right.
And I'll nip somebody by their toe and manage to the podium.
Are there many ex pro wrestlers that do powerlifting?
I hope
Olympic
not.
Wrestling?
No,
WWE.
Like
WWE wrestling.
Oh, you mean like real?
Like the Undertaker?
Professional wrestling.
Professional. Like, is that a popular transition?
It seems like a smart transition because pro wrestling hurts so bad.
Stone Cold.
Powerlifting is super comfortable, so it seems like a
Stone Cold loves the bench.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And drink beer.
That too.
Yeah. The rattlesnake.
Give me a hell yeah.
Some of the old school WWE guys used to power lift. There's a bunch
Mark
of guys.
Henry.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan back in the day. A bunch of those guys, yeah. That's why they have those like fluffy builds.
Quick question, what's Austin 316?
He told us the story. Maybe you should listen to our podcast.
Exactly.
Oh.
He totally told the whole story.
Yeah, Austin 316 is Jake the Snake Roberts was a like a Bible thumper back in the day. They made it as like a gimmick for him, which was actually something that was true because he was going through rehabilitation and stuff. And so Stone Cold, after he beat him, he said, "You go around thumping your Bible. You talk about Palms 3:16 or whatever the hell it is.
John 3:16.
There you go.
Of course, I know this.
So it shows you how much I know. Mm-hmm. Right. My parents are going to kill me.
Yeah.
You talk about John 3:16. Well, Austin 3:16 says, "I just whooped your ass."
Gotcha.
Mark, I think you have a present for Ben.
I do. I do have a present for him.
A present for me? Mm-hmm. Is it that Bo Jackson rookie card sitting on the counter over there?
It might be better.
I'll take that.
He's got a Power Ranger.
I got a Power Ranger.
Jim has Superman.
I'm the Red Ranger.
Okay.
And you have...
Jesus!
Oh, I win. There he is. Wow. I win. Look at that.
He wins all battles.
He's a Gumby, though. A
bendable, posable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about Jesus plus Superman? That'd be like a really good... Yeah, really good team right there.
They could like they're together, working together.
Wait, they're together?
Yeah, like an Avengers.
Well, not like that.
Hey,
no.
The next Avengers. Jesus
I think Jesus is against that.
Avenger.
Actually,
yeah.
Jesus would not approve of that. we need to work on that.
Hey, no.
Jesus with a cape.
When you were playing football, do you think that you would have listened to some of this stuff about CrossFit? Like you would be able to get stronger while chasing after, you know, being more fit?
So my first exposure to CrossFit was actually while I was playing college football. I would come back to Northern California in the off season and do some training.
What position did you play?
I was a wide receiver.
Ah, okay.
And one of the first affiliates was in my hometown, and my old high school football coach was the one that opened it. So I would go back and do some CrossFit for conditioning purposes, not for the Olympic lifting. Or
you went
like
to high school, Matt Barnes?
Yeah, at Del Campo. Sweet. He was a couple years ahead of me, but I could tell you plenty of Matt Barnes stories. but anyway, so I did those in the off season and found that it was really, really effective on conditioning. So I would go back and I would feel pretty good going into camp and double days and stuff like that. But again, like back then, CrossFit didn't look the way it looks now. It was all the girls, the named workouts like Annie and Barbara and Cindy. It was Fight Gone Bad. It was all super lightweight, just motor stuff. That was all it was. And I was really good at that already. Like I could I knew how to move a barbell enough to do it. And I remember when I was transitioning to do competitions, I was like, is there anybody in the world that's better than me at doing these CrossFit stuff?
That's awesome.
Because I would periodize like 6 weeks of CrossFit training, and then I would do like 6 weeks of powerlifting, and then I would do like 4 weeks of bodybuilding, and then I was geeking out on the programming, and every time I did the CrossFit stuff I couldn't find anybody to work out with me to keep up with me, and so
I'm
started
smoking all these fools.
I'm like, dude, I'm like the best in the world.
Is periodizing go upstream against CrossFit?
The official company line on CrossFit is yes, but CrossFit Games athletes periodize pretty strong.
Yeah. I would just think you kind of have to, right?
You have to.
In order to get better at other stuff, yeah.
To take CrossFit into a competitive stage in sports, to peak, to be most efficient at it, you have to periodize, right?
Yeah.
To get fit, maybe you don't.
Right. I think people that just go to a CrossFit gym, and like the way I program for my gym, I don't periodize programming. Yeah. But athletes that are going to the games, yes.
Because CrossFit was, although I don't think Kalipa does.
No, I was going to say, I think you get to a point where you have a requisite base in maybe a few different things, yeah. that you're ahead of the sport, or you're at least current with the sport, that really all you're doing is you're practicing being in the dark place that Mike's never right. been to. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
And, no, thanks.
The better you get at that.
I see the light, buddy.
Yeah. The more repetition.
He's been in the closet before, but he came out a while
back.
The
light was on.
Yeah.
Well, what's something that Jason said to us a couple weeks ago when we had him on the show was that that people shouldn't look at the CrossFit games and think that that's CrossFit, because it's really sort of a bastardization of what goes on in the gyms, the programming that goes on in the gyms.
That makes Blair really happy.
CrossFit was made to be a workout thing, right? It was made for fitness, for general people, and then somehow turned into a competition.
That's right.
Right? Like basketball wasn't made to get people fit or to change lives. Basketball was made to compete against and score more points. So then it's
well, the competition itself made it monetary, right?
Yeah.
Maybe look at it that way. Like it made it
more popular. So then
brought sponsorship and money into the
make your own gym and continue. It is a business at its core.
Right. Yeah. CrossFit is an interesting case because it is, on the one hand, a lifestyle, a style of training that is for people that have regular jobs and everything like that. And on the other side, it is also this growing sport. And the two things are not the same. Just like Jason said, don't look at what you see on ESPN and say, that's what happens in a CrossFit gym. Because that's not the point of what the CrossFit gym is. The CrossFit gym, the idea is to get you more fit in less amount of time than any other style of training, right? That's the idea. Is it's you're generally prepared to lift a little weight, to run a little distance, to do some gymnastics, to
everyday living.
Whatever. Exactly. Yep. Whatever you want to do, you should be able to do it decently. The CrossFit Games is way, way, way turned up.
Well, there's a ton of weightlifting, right? Weightlifting isn't necessarily GPP.
There's always like ladders.
And when you turn it up, you're not necessarily safe anymore, right? When you're actually trying to help build people when they come into your gym, that venue, that sport, that particular 5 days is designed to break you down.
That's everything in fitness. I talk about that a lot.
It's crazy,
right?
That it's 5 days.
Yeah.
We all kill you. We all got into whatever we're doing probably for health and fitness. And then we took it to an extreme. It's not healthy and it's not fit.
Right.
Right. Right. But we're not fit. I can't run. Right. You're not fit because you work out 4 times a day. You can't even sit down.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's some extreme that's not good.
I'm so thankful for the standing podcast. Like, this is really nice.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm coming off a rest week, so I still do that.
An entire week.
Yeah. Well, like it's not like a dead week, but like it's a deloaded week where you're not doing nearly as much stuff.
So twice a day.
He went to Princeton, we said earlier.
Right. So I feel really good.
No, he's super smart.
Weeks.
When I used to train him, he's like, oh, I'm good. I'm like, you sure you don't want to do one more? I'm like, I know other people are probably trying to, you know, bait him into it, or I'll be like, Ben, like, why don't you go try to do more than him or something?
Okay,
Ben's like,
whatever you say.
Okay, boss. Blair's like, nah, dude, I don't give a shit what he just did. I'm good.
I feel like back was rounding right there. I'm like, I didn't see your back move at all, Blair. And he's like, nope, it was about to.
Felt the vertebrae. Yeah.
Okay. And then Arturo would come in and destroy himself with a 15-second deadlift.
I don't know what's up with Arturo. He's like, one day he'd walk in and just be good for nothing. And then the next day he'd come in and just kick the crap out of everybody in the gym. I'm like, I bet you he's an out deadlift mark right now.
Like 15 he was reps, good. 405.
Yeah. Yeah, that legendary day. Yeah. The day when he just went crazy that one day.
I think he's still recovering.
He hasn't been back since.
No. Yeah,
fried his nervous system permanently.
CNS is jacked up.
But like that's the only thing that I worry about with CrossFit, because it's so young and like people will train and push hard. And like, you know, Ben's inspired me a lot to do more than I think I could actually do.
That's sweet.
Is we don't really have a good data base of what it's going to look like. Like Rich trains more than any person in CrossFit. And it's not an accident that he's better than everybody, because he trains more. But I don't know what the hell that's going to do to his body. Like, what is going to happen as Ben starts doing squats? Like, what's going to happen when he's 35?
Yeah.
Like, I'm 33. You know, I've been doing CrossFit since 2008. And, you know, my body still feels pretty good. But I have probably done half the CrossFit that Rich has done.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy. Yeah, it seems like he kind of breezes through it, though. It seems like he's not always kind of like your style, where he's not always in the gym. You know, it looks like he's out in his ranch and he's like running through. I mean, I don't know if that's just like rogue video or whatever, but
yeah,
it seems like he's doing a little bit more than just lifting and stuff.
In the Bahamas last year, like the Bahamas, a pimp resort in the Bahamas, that dude was at the gym at the gym on campus of the resort 3 times a day.
So he's a meathead.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
God.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, Blair's
like, where's Rich? Like, you want to go, like, we're going to go swim, like, hang out? Like, no, he's doing, like, 21-15-9, 185 thrusters and, like, muscle-ups.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he loves all of it. I've seen him doing, like, floor presses and just, you know, regular powerlifting movements and all kinds of different stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is like, you know, Blair mentions the, you know, what's he going to feel like later? And I've thought about that argument before, too. I mean, you look at something that's like a machine that's designed to make red cups. You know, eventually, even though it was designed for that with precision and whatever, it's greased and has the springs and whatever, and it makes red cups, eventually you have to replace parts, right? And the machine's going to break down. It was made for that, and it's going to break down. The difference with our body is we could squat, and you're like, hey, you know what? You only have so many squats in those hips or those knees or whatever. But the difference is our body regenerates, right, when we sleep. So there is a difference in that. And it's like, at what point is regeneration not fast enough and you start to really break your body down? And so
then you got to periodize.
Then you got to periodize, right? And you got to take deload weeks, right? And if you want to be on the safer side of that. And for some athletes and for, you know, the competitors at the top level, they are willing to ride the line the other way.
Yeah.
Right?
And what Kelly always says about this is one of the reasons why Rich can do that is he moves
almost
practically perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a lot of inefficiency where his knee is taking too much shearing force.
Well, how the heck does Kalipa do it then? Jay doesn't move perfect.
No, Jay does not move
perfect. And he'd be willing to admit that. He doesn't move very...
Workhorse.
Yeah, he just... And he doesn't... I don't think he's banged up and hurting.
Well, and you don't know it, right? So I think that we'll know a lot about CrossFit in the next 10 years. Like, when this crop of athletes is pushing that
age
line. I'd
also say being in shape, though, it really changes things. You know, when you're conditioned, they talk about head trauma in the NFL. A lot of these guys are ended up with head trauma because they're not in shape. Like, people aren't ever talking about that. But you're in a bad position in the first place because you shouldn't have been there because you're too slow. And because it's the fourth quarter, you know, it's like a lot of these things are happening. A lot of people are getting teed off on when they're tired.
Right.
They got hit by a couple previous shots, or they're fatigued from a previous round or whatever it might be. And now they're in a bad spot.
That's a great point. I've never heard anybody say that. But
well, with Rich, I mean,
he didn't go to Ivy League.
His engine's different. So he's just playing with a different set of rules. He's a different set of cards. Mm-hmm. And at least he did move on to the team stuff. You know, kind of moved aside, let somebody else win.
Well, I think that point is almost something against CrossFit, right? So if these guys are getting hurt when they're tired, our sport's designed to make you tired.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're going to do a heavy squat clean or a heavy snatch. Yeah. Right, and you drop a barbell on your head. You didn't do it when you were fresh and you felt like it was easy. You did it when you were tired.
But that's the competition side of CrossFit, not the workout side of CrossFit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously, you're going to be fatigued when you work out,
but
you're not going to have your class run 5 miles and then max snatch.
No, like
that's not smart for your class. But at the games, you might have to.
Easy Muhammad went for like a 275 snatch, and he dropped the bar and it kind of glanced his head and he fell backwards. Oh, in my gym, I'd have somebody shut it down. Like, you cannot take another one. Easy Muhammad steps back up to the bar and nails it, and I'm on my feet, like, screaming and yelling. You know what I mean? It's the awesomest thing ever.
Right. But what Mike's saying is that is an important distinction to make, is, like, people get hurt in CrossFit a lot because they're trying to, you know, be tough, right? They're trying to not give in. And you see a lot of people that are not moving perfectly in your gym day to day. They're not Rich Froning. They're not these elite athletes that have good flexibility. They sit at a desk 40 hours a day.
They're
rotator cuffs are ready to tear.
Yeah.
Then they try to do a kipping pull-up when they're 30 minutes into a workout, and boom, there it goes.
Well, it's the same as other sports, right? They're shitty coaching. They're shitty athletes.
Right.
How many people sprain an ankle just playing basketball, whether it's pickup or competitive? Every single person on the planet.
Everybody.
And they're not shutting down basketball.
Right.
Well, actually, that brings up a good point, because, like, bad coaching, bad programming is one of those things to wrap against CrossFit. But, like, how much of it is bad programming and how much of it is poor choices on the basis of somebody who's a member of a CrossFit gym?
Well, I mean, those two, I mean, I don't think you can distinguish between the two sometimes. You know, it's the bad programming, the bad coaching. You can let somebody who's got the best intentions in the world do something that they've never done before, and they could literally get hurt the first time out of the gate doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you have somebody who maybe is a little bit headstrong, or they're the young guy and they want to try to become that next mutant, that next freak.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they do something bad. So I think that coaching and programming influence has to be there.
I would say it's 80% on the coach, 20% on the athlete.
Okay.
Most people, if you establish
79-21, but I don't want to split hairs.
If you establish, like, the roles appropriately when someone comes into a gym and say, you're going to do what I tell you to do, right, or you're not going to train here, then they'll do it. If you take the, you know, hey, this is like a thruster, it kind of looks like this, then that's still the coach's fault when that person gets hurt. And then some people are just like, they're strong-headed, they're going to be ignorant, and they're not going to listen. That's just the 20%.
Yeah, my wife, a couple of years ago, had a bunch of friends, like, she works at the med center, nurses doing CrossFit, husband, wife, all this stuff, and then, like, I think none of them are doing it now because of injuries.
Right.
And, like, I don't know which process they're going to. I don't know what they were told to do or whatever, but clearly whatever it was, they couldn't sustain it.
If there was weightlifting classes with one coach and 15, 20 people, or powerlifting classes with one and 15 people, there's going to be injuries. If you go to a powerlifting meet, there's going to be turnt backs and cat back deadlifts. And
Everything you do that's new, there's going to be pain, and there's going to be like – there's going to be some you're going to be uncomfortable.
One of the highest injuries is like long distance running, right? Yeah. Those people always have fucked up knees. Yeah.
Downhill skiing
fucks people up too.
So, I mean, the thing that frustrates me the most about the idea that CrossFit injures people is that these injuries that they're getting, like not everyone, but 9 out of 10 injuries, it's an injury waiting to happen. Right. And this person is ready to be injured, and they could have done it like doing whatever.
On the treadmill.
Right. They're just like, they're in such bad shape that they come into a CrossFit gym to get into shape, and they're like, the coaching isn't good enough to evaluate this person and say, you need to stretch first.
You got a fix for that?
Like, so it didn't matter if you put your foot on the gas downhill skiing or you did it here in my gym.
Yeah.
You were about ready to blow your ACL.
You're
going to
pop.
Yeah,
what do
a bad mover.
What do you two think on that? Like, how do you fix that?
An assessment or something.
You said earlier, Ben, that it was super easy to open a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively.
No, it's easy.
And so then they popped up, market got, you know, fucking saturated and all that. Well, how do you fix the shitty coaching, or how do you fix the injuries? Is that from the top down? Is that, it's kind of sucks if it's only gym responsibility when an 18-year-old kid can open a gym.
Well, yeah.
Whether it be 24-hour fitness, Gold's gym, or CrossFit gym. It doesn't matter. It's just a gym.
Well, I could back up even further, right? So as CrossFit has become much more influential, I think there's going to be people who move better and better. Right. Yeah. I think that you're going to see that from the youngest. Like, my son already knows. He's like, he told me the other day, he's like, man, Dad, when I squat, my toes, they turn out too much. Right. And he knows.
Yeah. They're watching YouTube.
Education.
Yeah. The education piece is going up. So that's helpful. Right. And that's going to force the coaches in the area, or in CrossFit, or in weightlifting, to be honest, with this kind of open source information that's out there, is all the time. Like, people can get programming and information from anywhere. Like, it's going to force the coaches, like Blair and myself, or even you guys in powerlifting. It's going to force us to be better, right? It's going to force us to make the hard calls to be like, hey, you need to shut it down right now.
I think there's a couple things that, if you walked into a CrossFit gym, you could tell right away if it's going to be a good, safe situation or not. So
don't
this
do
is
it,
just
Mike.
My opinion.
Don't do it, Mike.
But number one, like, going to a gym that is new or struggling for members is going to be a little bit dicey, because they're going to want you to be happy. They're going to let you do whatever you want to do to make you pay your membership, right? The second thing is, if you walk into a gym and they put you right into a regular class, don't do it. That's a bad sign. You should be if you're not someone who is training regularly or doing CrossFit regularly, you should not be going right into a CrossFit class. You should be going into a on-ramp class or a boot camp class, something that is very little weightlifting with intensity, right? So we talk about, it's one thing to do a squat when you're fresh, and it's a whole nother thing to do a squat and brace internally with your back when you're tired. So, I mean, either a mandatory, most gyms either have like a month or 2 weeks or some sort of a on-ramp process where you get to ramp up slowly what it's like to be breathing hard and moving. At our gym, we don't have, there's no like lifetime on that. You're going to be there until you look good.
Yeah. Some, you have a judgment call.
Yeah. Like, I tell you, okay, you're ready to move up. And if not, you stay there. And the workouts are still fucking hard. You're really working hard. It's
just
like,
maybe a little simpler.
Yeah, there's just no weightlifting. It's all body weight. It's really hard for people to hurt themselves doing body weight.
There's two sports that people don't do when they're old. And one is Olympic lifting, and the other one is gymnastics.
Yeah.
And those are big parts of CrossFit. So
that's
like
a good point.
You know, if you limit those two, at least a little bit in the beginning, for most people, I would say they'd probably be fine.
Yeah. Power lifts,
those
body weight.
We're
going
to run.
Things,
we're going to do burpees. We're going to do, you know. Obviously, you're going to have to judge the person when they come through the door. And
yeah, Mark just judged every old person in the world.
Yeah, you do not do this when you're this age.
That's true, though.
Well, Olympic lifting, you don't see people like, you know, that are 55.
Yeah, very few.
Hey, man, can't wait to go to my. But at 55, 60 years old, there's plenty of people doing powerlifting.
For sure.
Powerlifting's a slower sport. It's more deliberate.
Cycling.
You can really pay attention.
Lower impact sports. Less explosive.
Less explosive. I mean, you see guys You see, like, guys who...
Did you just call us unexplosive?
You're not explosive.
We have explosive diarrhea.
Right. Explosive diarrhea. Lose 50 calories per fart or whatever.
It smells like 57. Explosive diarrhea in here.
Yeah. Well, sorry about that.
Well, you know, to Mark's, he made...
Lentil soup.
Point, like, you don't Olympic lift, you don't gymnastics, you don't do high-level gymnastics when you're 50 years old. If you eliminate those, you'll probably be pretty good. And that's kind of a little bit more of the role that my gym takes, or the way that my gym goes. We don't have an on-ramp anymore. So we spend a lot of time with our new people in classes, and we eliminate things that they can't do.
Right.
And we basically take it down to an on-ramp style and let them learn as they go. So that sometimes for some people, they're like, man, I really would like a little bit more instruction. And for that reason, people can meet with a coach. Right. They can get personal training. But, I mean, for the most part, most of our people, they jump right into classes, but they're heavily modified. So right. That's the way we go with our classes.
Pretty cool. What else we got? Anything else?
I don't know.
I was reading the back of this Jesus thing.
Yeah, what'd you learn?
I didn't really learn anything, but it was just like such a succinct, you know, summary of who Jesus was. So
why don't you tell us about it there,
everybody? Who is Jesus?
I mean, I could read it to you, but I don't know if I could tell you. You know, I mean, I think everybody kind of knows who Jesus is, and it's just a matter of if you like him or not. You know? So there you go. Obviously.
And how you want to pose him.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, this thing's really bendable. I can open this thing. It says ages 3+.
Yeah, you qualify.
I think my little girls are only 2. I'm like, they couldn't play with this?
Yeah. Ben, how does religion, you know, play in your life? I know that you're very religious.
Yeah.
You're raising your kids to be that way as well. Mm-hmm. Your wife is very religious, kind mm-hmm. of a family thing. Mm-hmm. Was that a decision that you made as like a young adult, or was it something you were kind of born into? Or
yeah, no, for me, I wasn't born into like a religious home. My dad had actually... You know, when he was in the Navy, like a lot of guys go through like these different iterations in their life where if, you know, they went to prison, they heard from like a preacher in prison and they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, they're, you know, a Bible thumper in prison. They get out and they're back on drugs or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, in the military, it's sometimes the same thing. You know, guys kind of like are on a ship or something like that and they're all in tight quarters and yeah. guys need to find some way to have some sort of community and believe in something bigger. And I think that's like a little bit more of a you're more kind of. You're more slanted towards that when you're in those environments.
Right. So for they my say dad, there's no atheist in a foxhole. You ever heard that before?
Yeah, there's no atheist in a foxhole.
Yeah, people are always praying to God right. when they're on their deathbed, right?
I guarantee you that's true. Right. You know what I mean? I guarantee you that's true. There's nobody yeah. cursing God at that point.
right. Any help they can get.
Yeah, they're wanting some sort of help. And I think that speaks to the simple fact that I think that we were designed and created for something bigger. It's because that and when we're in our rawest instinct, that we all kind of cry out, even if we don't have like some sort of
makes sense.
Jesus doll. You know what I mean? Like we're looking for something a little bit bigger than us because we realize I'm at the end of my rope. I got nothing. I need something more than me. Right. Yeah. So for me, my dad, he kind of like he had this faith in the Navy and then went dormant. And then like I was like 12, I think. And my dad was like, I started getting all religious again. So I was like, OK. And he shared the Bible with me and I was like, OK. Then I started getting religious and then. Probably when I was not even really all that long ago, to be honest, about 5 or 6 years ago, went through some crazy stuff in my own life. And that's when God got really, really super real to me. And, you know, but for me, yeah, my family is very, I'll say religious, but we're Christians. You know what I mean? Like we believe in the Bible. Like I don't care if you go to a different church than me. Like if you can just, you know, the Bible.
It's a little bit more than being religious. It's just being good.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
for me,
I mean,
it's
and,
like...
And
not having a bad heart.
Not having a bad heart. Yeah, yeah, my son said that the other day. For me, it's easy for me to wear my religion on my sleeve where it is not so easy for some others. Because when other people get around, let's just say, I would use a term for a non-Christian, maybe just a non-Christian, people who aren't religious, they have a hard time. Because they expect that non-religious person to act like
them. We'll just call
them
people that are heading towards hell.
Yeah, right. Yeah, these evil
heathens.
Sinners, right? These heathens, yeah. right? Yeah, these people expect people who aren't Christians to act like Christians. So when their friend who isn't a Christian moves in with their boyfriend or girlfriend, they get really upset and they're like, "Hey, man, you can't do that," you know? And bro, that person is not a Christian, so you can't impose your Christian values on that person. Right,
but we still place a lot of judgment on Blair, right?
He's so skinny, like he's so skinny, man. You
My
know
heart
I mean?
Is good.
Yeah, his heart is good.
I don't like a lot of the decisions he makes. I mean, shit.
I,
I agree.
Those, like those sunglasses.
I agree. He's went with them. He's rolling with them.
It's kind of dark in here. I feel uncomfortable wearing them, but like it's I've gone too far.
You've gone too far. Can't take them off now. No. So anyway, that's for me. It's like it makes it very easy for me to walk into a room full of heathens, right? and then also walk into a church and maybe lead a Bible study,
right?
You know.
That's cool. And it's, you know, when you're that upfront about it, it lets everybody know, like, hey, like, I'm not into certain things. Like, you might not be, you don't drink, I don't think, right?
Not much.
Right.
Not much. I do have, a glass of wine or two a week, but there are some Christians actually who...
No, that's not much of a Christian thing.
No, people look at me and be like, dude, you cannot drink. Like, some people think it's really, really bad. And for certain reasons, I actually, sometimes I agree with them. And you know, but it's...
So that's maybe just changes your judgment or changes your perception of what you're actually like, not actual with alcohol.
Exactly. Because
that's not a Christian thing.
Right.
Well, I just think you make other people aware of it, and they're going to kind of know what you're about.
It changes the way I talk. It changes the way music I listen to. It changes what I drink or don't drink. You know, the places I go or I don't go. You know, the environments I put myself in. There are certain parties or club scenes when I'm traveling for competitions and whatnot that I just don't go because I know that. I mean, as much as I'm like, oh, yeah, Jesus this and the Bible, dude, I put myself in a bad place, you know? I'm going to do bad things because I'm just a person.
It makes sense. You know, you're just trying to curtail some of that stuff, keep it out of your life, basically.
Yeah, cut it off before it becomes a problem.
So you guys have a podcast that actually does pretty well.
Oh, yeah, you're checking up on us?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Checking up on you a little bit. So to me, like, what you guys have going on is great because you compete, you have gyms, and you have families, and you talk about all of it. Mm-hmm. And you bring other people in who have, you know, maybe not exactly the same background as you, but you have common ground to talk about. But I think that like, makes you unique at least among the CrossFit podcasts and gym owner podcasts, is most people are not dealing with all of those things and trying to balance and honest about it, really.
Right.
So I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You guys have new episodes every Tuesday,
typically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think with our podcast, like, We have a lot of different things that we're going through, and we do talk about them all. And on top of that, people wonder how I can be good friends with Blair Morrison. And so I can help people who have friendship issues. So it's a very multifaceted podcast. It's pretty good.
Yeah, we dig deep.
Yeah,
very deep. Yeah, so we have episodes come out once a week.
What's it called?
It's called Beyond the Barbell.
Yeah, people are talking about it, but they can't even find it.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Beyond the Barbell. You can find it on iTunes. And on Instagram, of course. But when Ben actually approached me to start it, a little over a year ago now, it's kind of crazy.
That was the other good idea I had. So the one was on this right. podcast, and then there was one like about
one
a year
before
ago.
Before that, okay.
Yeah.
And because there wasn't any CrossFit podcast out there from athletes talking about what it's like to train but also be a normal person. And it wasn't – so our podcast wasn't necessarily about purely the training side of things, but it was about also, like you said, running a business, having a family – and then also just being a regular person, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there from the CrossFit community about what it's like to be an actual CrossFit athlete that you see on TV. And it's not. There's not a lot of money like we talked about before, and it's not as glamorous as it may appear. I think with the rise of social media, things have – the gap between perception and reality has really widened.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Everybody's a rock star.
Yeah. And it's like – it's all about likes and comments and – and it doesn't.
I agree.
Like tinting the photos to make them look even better than they are. It's like, you know, we're all stuck in that world, and we have to kind of live with it. But it makes us our podcast. Hopefully, is like you said, it's a little more real. When we talk to people, we talk to them about what their lives are actually like. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we've done everything from talking to Kalipa to Sam Briggs to China Cho,
Mr. Faber.
Uriah Faber. Yep. Outside of CrossFit, we've talked to NFL players now. And then we do basic things like talk to our listeners about how to find a good gym,
right.
You know, like what makes a good gym in the area? How do you do that? Like we were talking about a little bit, the programming thing. If somebody wants a really in-depth breakdown of like how to find a good gym in the CrossFit community, then go back and listen to one of our episodes. So we really try to be coaches, dads, you know, friends of, and high level competitors all at the same time, because we feel like there's a lot of people in the CrossFit community really trying to juggle all those different things.
Right.
Yeah, and then every once in a while we'll bring on a meathead.
Mike Mark.
Let's talk about steroids.
Mike, talk about steroids.
Because people want to know.
People want to know.
So we find the best guests so we can talk about the best things.
Like, where do they really get that powder?
Yeah, where did it come from? Sweet potato.
Sweet potato.
Yeah.
Sweet potato steroids.
I tell you what, I've been buying a lot of sweet potatoes lately. I don't know how to make the powder, but I figure if I just eat a lot of sweet potatoes,
yeah, it's about battery acid and sweet potatoes.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
It's going right to your traps.
Yeah, I'm
going to
buy some D's and just eat them.
Yo, when we talked to Uriah, he's like, he has some questions for you about, not that because he wants to use, he's like a super clean athlete, but like, what are the side effects that you have experienced from? That's what he was wanting.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I would want to talk to this guy.
I don't know, man.
You better get Uriah on the show.
There's some side effects, but they're, I don't know.
A little bit less for dudes than chicks.
You pick and choose what you want to live with and, you know, whatever.
What's the side effect? I got super jacked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm handsome. I'm rich. I'm tan.
I'm super strong.
Yeah, exactly.
I started taking steroids. I drove a nice car. I don't know.
My sex appeal is off the chart.
Right. Okay. Well, where are they at? That's really why I showed up today.
That's it. We're going to get you guys on right after this show.
Okay. Yep.
You get a gift package every time you come on the podcast. Put your trend on your way out.
Right. Next time I come, I'll be 210.
What I always point out to people is that a lot of times the side effects happen when you come off them. And I think that a lot of people don't really understand that. The side effects aren't really going on. There's some side effects, obviously. There's effects and side effects going on while you're taking them. Mm-hmm. But when you come off them is when you kind of end up with, in my opinion, more issues. Or at least that's been my experience. Mm-hmm. Things like acne and shit like that. You know, you get bigger, you can get bloated.
The worst side effect
people,
ever, getting bigger.
Some people will get moody. I don't really have a ton of issue with that, although I'm sure my mood is swung somewhat way by it, a tiny bit maybe, but not any more than, crashing off a cup of coffee or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody experiences different things. And I would say, I always tell people that it is a drug. They are illegal and you do need to be cautious with it and do need to read up on them. There's a lot of information on the interwebs for all that good stuff. Hmm. I think that's all the time we got for you guys today. Either one of you guys have anything coming up, any events or anything you want to plug? Other than your butt plug?
No, I know that both Blair and I are taking a team from our respective gyms to Wadapalooza.
That's right. In Miami.
That's cool.
Yeah. Felipe says it's the best competition ever, beats the CrossFit Games.
Was it Miami? Right?
Yeah. He said Wadapalooza is pretty
cool. It's the most fun.
Is Rick Ross there?
Oh.
He was there last year.
He was, right?
Oh.
Dude, I need to go.
Rick Ross showed up with his whole posse and walked right in front of everybody in the stands, crossed the competition floor, and then sat on a separate set of seats that they pulled out just for him.
And guess who got mad at him? No one.
No,
nobody. Yeah, I got a nice little selfie with Rick Ross.
You almost said something. You were like, never mind.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Mr. Rosé.
Never mind. Mr. Rosé.
Can I get you anything, sir?
Yeah. So Ben and I are both going to be in Miami this year for that. And then I don't know what else we're doing.
I feel like the real story behind that is, honestly, like Blair's gym and his philosophies and his athletes have gotten the better of Iron Mile for a while.
Uh-oh.
You know, I feel like in some things, you know, you just have to acknowledge reality. You know, like
he's been whooping your ass for the last couple of years.
They qualify a team to regionals. We've never done that. You know, Blair's been to the games. I've never done that. Right. So like, there's a lot of things, and so we're gonna go to Wadapalooza.
Tension is really building.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really we're not really competing for the top spot.
I'm gonna start my own podcast.
We're just trying to compete against Ben's gym.
Yeah, we're really like, okay, we cannot lose to anywhere again, right? And so we're training really hard. When my guys are getting really tired in training, I'm just like, you know, Blair probably picked that up. You know, there's going to be an ocean swim that we have to overcome because they're going to win that no matter how much we train in the next 2 months. Like, they're going to win the ocean swim, right? So I'm like, you got to pick up that heavy barbell again. And they're like, my hands are bleeding. I'm like, I don't care.
I'm sure you guys get this as well when you go to competitions. Like, you were down at Burdick's a couple weeks ago. But, like, I look forward to these types of competitions because of the friendships that, you know, I've built and that Ben and I have built over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years of competing, and we get to see those people once or twice a year, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then, so like the fact that we can talk shit back and forth right. about our teams and the competition, that's what I look forward to more than anything. The actual competition, like when you're actually on the floor, like that sucks all the time. CrossFit sucks all the time when you're doing it. And then afterwards, it's like really fun. Like, all right, we all did that. Yay. We didn't die.
Yeah. Last year, the team was me, it was Blair, Gabe, Subri, and I. You know, and so that was a really, really fun time.
That was really
time.
Cool.
You know, we went out there and we weren't competitive necessarily, but we were competing with
each other. We took eighth, right?
Yeah, we were competitive with ourselves in a sense, like, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we hang with these guys? And that's a lot of fun. And this year we, you know, take our own teams.
That's cool.
And I'm going to whoop your ass.
Yeah, you and Charlie Zamora, right? Yeah, right.
Where can people find you guys?
My Instagram is Morrison_Blair. Same on Twitter, but I don't really use Twitter.
Yeah, and if you guys want to look for me, just go to @Jesus on Instagram, and you can find some inspirational stuff
there. I think
you should
tell Rick Ross about Jesus.
Yeah. I would if you gave me a chance.
Excuse me, Mr. No. Rick.
Yeah. And then you guys can also follow our podcast at BTB Podcast, and then at btbpodcast.com as well.
Yeah. And then if you want more inspirational quotes, at Bible on Instagram.
That's your second page.
Yeah. I don't run those accounts. I'm just kidding. But there are some good stuff on there.
Yeah, people are going to look at it now.
At Iron Mile Ben, if you want to follow me.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Iron Mile underscore
Watch
Ben
lift heavy shit.
Yeah, that happens.
And his kids.
And my kids lift heavy,
his
too.
His kids have large heads just like him.
Yeah, we are comparing flat spots on Mighty Mason's head, you know.
I love the shirtless pics in the house all the time. Or like they're like in their undies or something. It's hilarious.
I know.
Like, what is going on?
They're my
on?
Best workout partners, man. I'm telling you.
Everyone's just like all on top of each other and like jumping on each other.
You try to beat a kid who's like 4 foot tall at a burpee workout who's got a little bit of an
smashing
engine.
You. That's
it's
tough.
Not fun.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Wow, I never thought about that. He's just down. He's already down there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Ed Cohn deadlift situation, right? You know, he breaks at the hip, and he's already got the barbell in his hands. Yeah. You're like, okay, well, wow. I can see how you do this now.
What a cheater.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all the time we got for today. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered. I'm at Mark Smilly Bell on Instagram and Twitter.
Boom.
That's Silent Mike, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jimmy D, STTV, everywhere that I would want you to find me. Follow
the wrong one.
Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/SuperTrainingGym, Twitter and Periscope at SG Gym Sack.
Thanks to all our sponsors, 8-Man Strong for taking care of us, all the powerlifting gear you want, Compex USA, Stim Machines, Fixed My Shoulder, Fixed My Life. They also feel good on your butt. Caveman Coffee and Rogue Fitness for the barbells that I lift all the time. And howmuchyoubench.net. And JesusChristFigurines.com.
Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of SuperTraining.com.